The Old Testament reading for Palm Sunday from Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Our catechetical review for today, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, we read together, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. The epistle reading from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi in chapter 2, Paul writes, Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as we sing the Lamb.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess together our Christian faith found in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Kids, I would ask you to come down front and join me and bring your palm branches with you. Good morning. It's so nice to see all of you today. How's everybody doing? How's everybody doing? And I got a good. How's everybody doing?
Good.
All right, good. There we go. All right. Well, let's talk about this story this morning, Palm Sunday. So you guys all have palm branches. Everybody has palm branches. I want to start off by showing you a picture. Look at this picture.
I already have
a donkey. A donkey. Yeah, a donkey. So.
It kind of looks like a horse.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a horse. So do we think of Jesus, we talk about him as being our king, right? He's our savior. What does that mean, to be our savior? What does that mean? Saved us from our sins, right? So when we think about somebody who's a king, who's really important, what kind of an animal do you think that they may ride on? What do you think?
A
horse. Yeah, somebody that, if you think of somebody that's the conquering hero, right? A hero that comes in and he's got his sword and he's riding on the horse, right? And everybody recognizes him. He's got an army following him and all of these things, right? Everybody is shouting that the king is coming and all this kind of stuff. No, that's not how Jesus rode into Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday. He rode in on a donkey. Now, was this his own donkey, by the way?
No, it was a wild donkey.
Yeah, he had to borrow it. He sent two of his disciples in ahead of him, and they had to borrow it. They didn't even have anything to put on the donkey for him, so the disciples took their cloaks off, and they put it on there for him, so he kind of had a saddle to sit on the donkey then. All right.
Then the disciples would be naked.
Mm-hmm. So then he comes into Jerusalem in this way. Now, let's get the palms here for a minute. All right. Now, what were the people saying when Jesus came into the city?
Hosanna.
What were they saying? Hosanna, Hosanna, right? And they were waving the palm branches. Some of them took the branches and they laid them on the road. As he was coming, they took their cloaks off, that is like their coats, and they put them down on the road as Jesus was coming through. What does Hosanna mean?
Save us.
Save us. Listen to what the people were crying out as Jesus came into Jerusalem. They were saying, save us, save us. Now you guys, this is Holy Week. What's going to happen to Jesus in just a few days? He's going to come and die on the cross. Now, when he rode in on this donkey, and everything that we know from the scriptures, when he came into Jerusalem, was Jesus being forced to do this?
No.
Was somebody twisting his arm and making him go do this? No. He willingly came into Jerusalem on this donkey in the last few days of his life to go to the cross for you and for me to suffer and die and to take all of our sins, every one of them, and to take them to the cross and suffer and die for them there so that you and I could know forgiveness and have salvation. That's how he saved us. So as the people were crying out, what were they crying out again? What were they saying? Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. That means they recognized him as they were calling him the Messiah. And they were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he did. He came in to save us from our sins. That's what he did. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came riding on a donkey into Jerusalem to save us from our sins, taking all of our sins to the cross and dying for them there. Thank you for saving us, dear Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we continue with our sermon hymn. Thanks, guys, for coming up. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In this way, on this Palm Sunday, this many years ago, our Lord comes to save. There's no violence. He has no armor. There's no power. There's no anger. There's no wrath. Rather, he comes in meekness. He comes in kindness, justice, salvation, and mercy. Humble and mounted on a donkey, for his kingdom is not of this world. We see this kindness, this justice, this salvation and mercy and humbleness in the manner in which our Lord came into this world and certainly throughout his ministry. After all, if we look at the beginning, who was his mother Mary? She's nothing special. She's a young virgin who is told by the angel Gabriel that she will conceive and bear a son, and she will call his name Jesus. Mary from the little insignificant town of Nazareth. She is the one whom the Father chooses to bear his son, the Christ child. He was born in that animal stall in that little insignificant town of Bethlehem, not in a grand palace. This Jesus on the donkey is the one who was born into the world in this way. If you look at the Gospels, as we see Jesus in his life and ministry, he did not make a show of himself. He did not make certain that he would be noticed by everyone. There were no heralds. There were no trumpets that would announce his arrival from town to town. The Bible even tells us that he was nothing particularly special to gaze upon. And he was followed by a group of disciples from the region of Galilee, and these guys were nothing special. They were just a bunch of country bumpkins with no education, certainly no formal training in theology or religion. But he was gentle. Jesus showed mercy to all he encountered. He healed the sick, he delivered others from demon oppression, and he even raised the dead. This is the Jesus that we see today riding on the foal of the donkey into Jerusalem. He disassociated himself from earthly and worldly authority. He did not come to lead an insurrection or rebellion. His kingdom was one that did not concern itself with those matters. He rejected the leading class of the Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, for these are the ones who, so blinded by their own self-righteousness, refused to believe in him that he was the Messiah. And in fact, they are the ones who conspired against him and will later this week have him murdered. So here, dear saints, on this Palm Sunday, we see this humble, meek, lowly, mild Savior of the world who comes riding not on a white horse, but on a donkey into Jerusalem in the last week of his life. Donkey, not fitting for a king. A king would be escorted by guards, by a vast army, riding in for all to see in great pomp and pageantry. The conquering hero came in as the crowds would come out to greet him. This is the kind of king who would avenge and deliver all from the hands of oppressors. No, this Jesus, he's riding by himself. There's no entourage. There's not even a blanket for him covering that his disciples have to use their cloaks to fashion for him a makeshift saddle to ride upon. So the crowds come out to meet him, and with shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. For many of these who were assembled there that first Palm Sunday, they viewed Jesus as the one who was coming to deliver them from the hands of their Roman oppressors. And to be certain, he would deliver them from oppression. For Jesus came to save from sin. And the time of his ministry now complete, he rides into Jerusalem where he will be arrested, tried, tortured, and executed. His kingdom is not of this world. And we can say to that this morning, thanks be to God, that it was not and is not. But here's the thing. He is the conqueror. He is the mighty king, for he delivered us from our oppression, from sin, death, and the devil. He destroyed once for all the power that sin and death held over us. As an obedient son to his Father, he fulfilled his will and destiny by suffering and dying. Through his rising from the grave, he did for us what you and I are incapable of because of our bondage to sin. He released those that were held in captivity. You and I have been set free. As we look in the Gospels today and we see the fickle crowds that were shouting, Hosanna to the king, and that they would soon turn on him. For later in the week, they would be the ones who would be shouting even for his execution. That the freedom of a murderer, Barabbas, should be exchanged for his life. They cried out, "Lord, save us." And he did exactly that by going to the cross for these sinners, by going to the cross for you and I, for poor, miserable sinners. Our cry is continually, "Lord, save us." And he does, and he has, by shedding his blood on the cross. I wonder today, though, if we can identify ourselves with these crowds, with these fickle ones who were waving the palm branches as Jesus was entering Jerusalem. And like them, maybe we're fine with Jesus as he is the kind of king, the kind of God that we expect him to be. It's like when we expect him to fix and take away all of our brokenness in our lives that we, through our own sin, have made a mess of, and we just want everything to go away. When we expect him to immediately deliver us from suffering, and yet we continue to suffer. When we expect him to heal us of diseases, and he seems to be silent. We expect him to fix everything that's wrong with our society, with our government. Maybe we have the picture of him riding in on a white war horse, ready to slay all the evil and wrong that we find in our world and in our nation. How quickly we can blame and turn on God when we don't get the answers that we want, when we expect them. When he doesn't respond as the God we expect him to be. When he's not acting according to your will. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Well, you and I have a sin problem. And we cried out, "Lord, save us," and he heard our prayer. He died even when we were yet his enemies. When we forsook him, he did not forsake his children. And here's his kingdom, dear saints, the one into which you have been brought, is where you have been bought by his precious blood. He saved you from your sins. In his kingdom, you have been given the gifts of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. This was the will of the Father from the beginning, that you would be saved from eternal damnation and separation from God. God be praised that he is not the kind of Savior that our sinful human nature would expect him to be. This one who is riding into Jerusalem on the donkey was not a royal hero. For this would not be much of a savior if he had only come to fix us, to deliver us from oppression, from corrupt kingdoms and governments, to make our lives easier, to answer prayers according to our will. As you begin this holy week, see this one who came to suffer and die for you. He comes. He's not being coerced. There's no arm twisting. He's willing and obediently heading to Mount Calvary for you. It pleased his Father that his only begotten Son would be sent to die for the sins of the entire world. He's riding in today to carry your sins, your suffering, your brokenness to the cross, suffering and dying for all of them there, every sin of yours. And he took care of your sin problem, what you were incapable of doing for yourself. When you don't see him for who he is, the one who suffered and died for you, the true king, repent, dear saints. Repentance and forgiveness and faith are gifts that you have been given by his Holy Spirit. And through faith, you continue to trust in him. That through your suffering, through pain, through the brokenness, he has not forsaken you. He hears your prayers, and the Holy Spirit continues to work this trust and hope in Christ in you, knowing that in all things he will answer you and deliver you according to his will. This is your Redeemer. This is your Conqueror. This is your Messiah, your Savior, and your King. Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
I would invite our new family to please come forward. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave to you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce
it. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all of the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrines of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the Word of God and to receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession in church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and with the gifts that God has given you?
I will, with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and